Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Freakin' Awesome Show. And now your host, Ange and Ryan.
This is Ryan.
And this is Angie.
And we are here in our normally arctically cold, that's a new word I made up, arctically cold apartment and shorts and a t-shirt because the, I want to say AC, that's not right, the Even the HVAC stopped working.
All I know is that it's hot as Hades in here.
It's middle of winter time. We have the windows open. And Angie is here. She's got shorts and a t-shirt on. So we were going to do a live feed tonight, but we decided against it just because nobody wants to see us sweating to the oldies. So,
or either sweating oldies.
Yeah.
Because that's what we are.
Yeah. So we don't want to ruin your evening by showing you that. So, but next week, hopefully, everything will be fixed, and we will be able to do a live stream with Holly. I can't believe it's the end of January already.
It's the last day.
God, man, this is a whew. Although it feels like it went by really fast. It's something got by really fast, but I also feel like it's taking forever.
I feel like
at the same
January
time.
Has drug. Like, I feel like these 31 days have been some of the longest.
It's like when you're pregnant and you get to the end and you're like, oh my God, it went by so fast. But when you're like living it, going through it, it takes forever. You know, it's weird how time acts like that.
Time is a strange thing.
Time is definitely a strange thing. Speaking of time, it felt like yesterday that we were chatting with our guests about COVID Christmas songs.
Yes.
And lo and behold, here she is again. This time, we're going to talk not about Christmas.
No.
Although, I mean, she wants to talk about Christmas. We can talk about
Christmas.
Christmas
is done.
Yeah, okay. Did we ever listen to those COVID Christmas songs?
I heard a couple of them, but I don't know if you did.
No, I didn't. I didn't do my homework and listen to COVID Christmas songs. I have to wait till next
there was this
December.
Girl on YouTube. Who I was listening to. No, not YouTube. On the Tic Tac.
The Tic Tac. Speaking of Tic Tac Patty Whack, Emily here, she has done some really awesome TikTok videos. So.
Oh, I need to find her on the
Check
Tic-Tac.
Her out. She does a good job. But you know what? We're just sitting here talking about her, and she's listening to us talk about her. So we might as well bring her on the show. What do you think?
Let's do it. Oh,
let's
turn
it
off. Why is this thing all?
Andrew's got TikTok on, ready to learn some new dances. So I'm going to go bring Emily on the show here.
Okay, I have been sitting here laughing my butt off at both of you. Can you hear me?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
You're welcome back.
I'm laughing because I'm close to 40. I understand the heat issue because especially last winter and then this winter, like gotten older, especially at nighttime, I have to turn down my thermostat lower. It's currently at 64 degrees in my house.
Bless you.
I get it.
Bless you. We keep ours at 66, like 66
okay.
Year round.
I have to be warm during the day. I push it up to 70, sometimes 72. This past week it's been 72 during the day. But something that hits me, like at 7 o'clock or later in the night, and I have to turn that down. And then when I go to bed, I have to turn it down another couple notches when I go to sleep. And that started happening last winter. I'll be 39 in March next month. I'll just go ahead and technically say next month. And so this year it's gone down even lower. I'm at 64 degrees at nighttime. Right now it's at 68. So because I'm up and I'm still moving, I guess. I don't know when I'm laying in bed and maybe I'm dead. I don't know. It needs to be cooler. I can't sweat it. Nobody needs to wake me up. Let me be in a cooler.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
She'll keep the temperature at 66, 68 degrees all year round. So I'll be going out and take the trash out in the summertime, and I'll still have my fleece jacket on like it's freaking wintertime. I walk
yeah.
outside, it's like 90 degrees outside. I'm like, holy shit, just start taking shit off.
But let me tell you, we have our air conditioner on all winter because we live in an apartment. And so the people on top and the people below, they kind of regulate us. So we have to turn on the AC because if we don't, it's like 74 degrees in here, like right now. So,
yeah.
I feel like knocking on these people's
doors. It's a freaking awesome sandwich. You all are the peanut butter and jelly of that apartment.
Yes.
So we got to call. I feel so weird calling the office tomorrow and being like, yo, my air conditioning's not working. Can we fix that?
Well, I messaged Ron back. I was like, are you all in Florida? Are you on vacation? I didn't know that you all lived in an apartment. So I was like, are they in Florida? Like, I have my heat on still, and I, like, kind of get warm, you know, at nighttime especially. So I was like, maybe they're on vacation. And then he's like, no, we live in between this and this, and I've been there, done that. I know that feeling. So that makes a lot of sense. So hopefully that gets fixed because that's miserable.
Yes.
You can't control
you.
It.
No, it's just bad timing. Plus, when we go to bed, RJ's, like, literally on top of Angie.
Oh, yeah. Literally on my chest.
Hopefully. I might have to sleep on the couch just because he's still going to be so, like, overheated in the bedroom. Not for, you know.
Well, enough about us.
Sorry, cut out for a second.
Oh.
Well, we were just talking
about.
Yeah,
we were like, enough
we're
about
us. We're talking about AC problems, you know.
What's going on with you?
Oh, my gosh. Does this need to be a therapy session?
We're talk it out. Tell us your problems. Sit on the freaking couch.
So much stuff is going on. Thank you for asking, by the way. Well, first and foremost, I still have my show, What the Frick Live. It's going to be going on through the month of February and into March. I've been offered another job. It's a job. I say job because I'm getting paid to be a host of a political show, which, you know, we have this thing in the paranormal world, don't talk politics, don't talk religion, things like that. But that's a deep desire of mine for many, many years. It's politics, and I have been a proclaimed Democrat. I have been a proclaimed Libertarian. I've been a proclaimed Republican, and now I've just dived deep in all this because really I'm for the people, is what I'm for.
Yeah.
And so I had a small political page here locally called Ashland Political, and our motto was We the People, Ashland Political. It blew up pretty big, and I allowed a couple people come on that I wasn't aware of who these people were, but I just needed help because it blew up so fast. And ended up falling. It failed tremendously. So now I've been just doing, like, if you're a friend of mine on the paranormal, what the Frickin' Frack or the Paranormal United Network, which is on, my personal Facebook page is totally different than my paranormal stuff. So please don't judge me on that. If you don't agree with the stuff I put on my personal page, that's fine. I won't take it personal. You can unfollow me and all that stuff. Please just continue to follow my paranormal stuff because that stuff's not going to be on there. But, I've been offered now, I've been on a radio show for the last month, weekly show. We've been averaging 30,000 live listeners. By the end of the first week, the first show, we had up to almost 100,000 listeners. So we are putting this stuff together now. I don't know if it's going to affect, actually, it is going to affect my What the Frick Live. So I'm still trying to hold on to that because obviously paranormal is my hobby and this is something I've done for 22 years. And then I've done radio and interviews and paranormal stuff for at least 7 to 8 years out of the 22. And then it's mind-blowing to me and it's a really great opportunity. And then I have meetings scheduled in the month of March with the local mayor of my town and then the financial department in the state of Kentucky to possibly run for office for Kentucky. So that's what's been going on. A direction that I never thought.
A lot of stuff happened since last
It has. And I never dreamed that I would be doing this whatsoever. I mean, it's been a passion of mine, yes, but I didn't think it would get to this level. So it has, and I'm appreciative of the people that I've confided in over the last couple months that has led me into this direction and has been helping me in step by step. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. But let me tell you, they got somebody. If I ever get up there back, I've been to the Capitol at least 16 times, maybe 17 times my whole entire life. If I ever get back up in there, you better believe I'm going to do an EVP session somewhere in that building.
Yes.
It's haunted.
Like
so, yeah, that's what's been happening. And then I've been helping also another group starting up it's the International Paranormal Talk Show, but they're concentrating mostly on Spanish-speaking teams and investigators with evidence and things like that. So helping with that through the Paranormal United Network. So that's been coming out. And Gabe is the main host of that show, and he's also on Paranormal, the Swamp Talk with Howard Petrie. So that's been happening too. That's about it, really. Nothing other than that that's really super exciting. I'm sorry.
That's a lot. Man, that's more than we've been up to.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm feeling better.
I also investigated a place in, it was the end of November, but I've just now got to get through all of the audio. I have amazing EVPs, which I was hoping that I could show you some this evening, but I have the EVPs. I mean, I got a tons of Class A EVPs from this location. It's truly haunted. It's one of the top 10 most haunted attractions in the state of Kentucky. This is out of Lexington. And I got an EVP where you hear me talking, and it's like it sucks my battery down from 75% to nothing, like in a couple minutes. And I'm talking about it, and I have an EVP right there that says charge it, or the ghost tells me to charge it. So I have that. And
I mean,
then
they're not.
Huh?
I mean, they're not lying. Shit.
No, they weren't lying, and they sucked my battery. I know they did it. They that was an admission to fault right there when they tell me to charge it because they sucked it dry. And then next Saturday, I'm going on. It's in Tennessee, an investigation. It's with the Masonic Lodge, so I have to do that because of all of the conspiracies and everything that goes behind the Masons and all that stuff. So I'm obviously going to do that. So next weekend, I'll be in Tennessee for that investigation. I'm excited about it. How many investigations have you all done that dealt with Masons by chance? Sorry, I'm asking a question, but I'm just curious. Any of them?
Well, our team went actually investigated a Mason Lodge last year, but we didn't go. I think I had to work that night or something that we didn't end up going. But they actually did actually end up having some activity out there. But as far as Angie and I, we have never been to a Masonic Lodge.
No. Well, started looking through these, especially when I put up these Class A AVPs on my SoundCloud account. I started looking through all these places I've investigated over the years. Over time, you forget about them, and I started looking through them, and I can confidently say that 90% of the places I've investigated have been linked to the Masons, Masonic Lodge.
Wow.
That's the 33rd. I've gone to 3 locations that the person that owned the property was a rank of 33rd Masons. So a lot. And I don't know if that's just Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia. I know you all are in Virginia. I don't know if that's just rampant here in a lot of the areas, because I know some of our cities was formed because of a Masonic Lodge. But
that and Indians, Indian burial grounds are the bulk of the things that I've investigated that I have found tremendous paranormal evidence. So I'm just curious about how many other people out in the field that have investigated these places and found the evidence to be substantial.
You know, I captured, we were investigating a plantation out in Powhatan, Virginia. And Powhatan is actually named after an Indian tribe, the Powhatan Indians. But we went outside to take a little break after doing an EVP session, and I left my recorder in my pocket. I just started investigating, and I had no idea how to turn the recorder off. I thought the recorder was off in my pocket, but I was able to capture, while we're outside, what sounds like an Indian, classic EVP of an Indian chanting while we're standing on the front porch.
Wow. Do you have that anywhere?
I do, and I'll send it to you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's probably one of the best EVPs I've ever captured. It's one of those things where you listen to it and you kind of take your headphones off, look at them, then put them back on because you can't. You really can't believe exactly. Can't believe what you just heard.
Right. This is the best. And I've been helping some of my team members on my teams that I have with the Air 404 Paranormal Network. I have my team here in Kentucky. I have two teams in Ohio, have a team in Florida, have a team in Virginia, and then I have a team in New Mexico. But I've been helping people. What I suggest is that you start a SoundCloud account. You can put I think it's up to 18 hours free on SoundCloud. I've had this SoundCloud since 2016, I think. And I just cut, I put some on there that this is the extended version, you know, of it.
Uh-huh.
And put it in caps. But just put the clip like 3 or 4 seconds before the EVP and then 3 or 4 seconds after the EVP. Put that up there. I use my Class A. You can put everything up there, but I just use my Class A's. And then in there, you can make a comment of the EVP where it's at. So when the person's looking at it and it pops up, like you're listening to the feed there or the audio, and then it shows the comment and it pops up and it's the EVP. You can listen for that EVP. It's the best thing that I've ever used, and I've sent that to tons of people over the years. But that's a backup place where I have my especially my Class A EVPs, because by golly, my computer, my laptop is about ready to crash, which, love its heart, I've had it since 2015. So it's time for her to retire. And I'm going to be getting a new laptop soon.
It's time to retire the old girl. I got the same problem over here. I think I got my laptop in 2015 as well. And last week, we were supposed to have a show, and the updates took like an hour, and totally just went into the show. Yeah.
Yeah, mine did that. I had to do updates last night on it. It took an hour, almost an hour and a half, and then it starts, the fan on it starts going really loud. I'm like, okay.
Doing that.
This is it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, 6 years. It's an HP.
Same here.
It's
HP.
HP laptop. It's a touch screen.
Same here.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. But it's done. I'm gonna be getting a new laptop in the next couple months. So but that's where I don't have to really worry about some of my EVPs on there, because most of the ones that I really want I've uploaded to SoundCloud. So I don't have to worry about that. Now my desktop that crashed.
Yeah, I put up most of my EVP. It's very convenient.
It cut out. All I heard was
inconvenient.
Oh.
I put most of my EVPs on SoundCloud as well.
Oh, awesome. Woo. Okay. Well, I need to listen to your EVPs then on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
But a lot of people,
right.
I don't know, a lot of people don't do it.
Well, it's easy to share your EVPs, and like you said, you can make a comment about, hey, this is where I was, this is what you need to listen for. It gives people, it helps people to, you know, hear which kind of evidence you're able to capture, and not have to just, you know, send it to people all the time. Say, hey, check out my, go to my SoundCloud and see what you think.
Yeah, it's nice because when you click share on there, it gives you all these other different avenues where you can share it. And then plus on Instagram, you can share it to your Instagram story, and it already plays and it has the EVP there with your comment and everything on it. So you just pop it up on the story, and I'm like, subscribe to my SoundCloud or follow me on SoundCloud, and it's all automatically there, and then people can listen to it over and over. It's really nice. I like it a lot.
I might have to do that for some of the EVPs that we captured out at the cabin on 360, because there's some pretty good ones on there as well.
I want to go there, by the way. Plus, I think, was it Sean Austin that was there not too long ago?
Yep, he was there.
Sean Austin. I'm really, really, really good friends with Dave Spinks. He's one of my best friends ever, and he hangs out with Sean, and Sean's been on my show, and Sean's a character, and I have to tell you that.
He's
funny.
A great guy.
And he is a great guy. Dave's a great guy, too. And I think I remember seeing some kind of spider there, one of those cabin spiders, right?
Oh, God, that thing gave me the creeps when I saw it.
Yeah, I've never seen a spider that big before that night.
Like, that spider had a voice. Like, I could see its mouth open and says, hello, I am your father.
Exactly.
Or something. It was scary. I'm scared of crickets, man. I shouldn't be worried about spiders. Crickets is what gets me. Like, don't... Like, I send people down into the basements and stuff and say, go down there first and see if there's any crickets. If it's all clear, I'll go. But I'm not scared of spiders. I'm really not. I've had spiders in my hair. I've had spiders. I'm not scared of them. But that picture I think it was on Instagram from Sean. I was like, oh, my goodness, where is this? And then I click on it, and I look down at, like, the cabin on 360. And I'm like, I was on their show in December. I was like, oh my. But yeah, that was kind of
sure
scary.
I showed up special for Sean because
it was a fan.
We ordered it special for him because we've never seen a spider that big since then. And that was 2 years ago. Was it a couple years ago?
Because I just saw it on Instagram.
No, yeah, well, the spider was a couple of years ago. Tim and Dave came out.
Oh.
It was like 2 years ago. They came out and stayed out there for like a couple of days, did a few live streams, and the first night we went down to the basement of the Brick Rancher with them is when we found that spider, and that's when Sean told Dennis that he'd rather face a demon than see a spider. So he had a he was in the basement of the Brick Rancher, I think the next night, and he had his SLS camera going, and you saw a figure show up on the camera, and then the figure transformed into a spider on camera.
I believe it.
So they heard him, and they were like, oh yeah, spiders, I'll show you. You told
me. Well, I definitely need to come investigate that place.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I'm sorry, it was cutting out a little bit too, so I can't hear. I definitely want to come investigate that place there, the cabin on 360, because I've heard so many stories. And then my Error 434 page, that is Melissa Grubbs. And she keeps talking about the cabin on 360. So I've heard a lot about it. I've just never been out that way.
Well, we'd love to have you out here.
We can't wait till you make it out here.
It's gonna be us three only in the basement with a spider.
Sounds good to me.
was
scary. I'll tell you what, it might not make it through me.
We'll have to grip. No, well, you're a spider. You don't like some snakes. Angie doesn't like snakes.
No, but I can't.
I don't
fight
like them either.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but spiders got to die.
I'm not a big fan of spiders.
I will kill spiders, too. I don't like snakes, but I can handle a snake. But I do have a really creepy story about a snake, if you all want to know about it. And then I'm looking at Sean Austin here where I saw that spider, because I thought it was just like a couple weeks ago on that. And I was like,
yeah, he posted it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, he did? Okay.
The spider, it was taken a few, because he came down in May. I don't think the spiders are even out now, really.
Oh, well, spiders are always out.
Do they hibernate or something? What do spiders do? Do they hibernate?
I think they hibernate. They hibernate in your houses during the wintertime.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what they do.
Well, it is. There's no heat or anything in the brick house right now. So little spider sickles if they're in there now, because it's pretty freaking cold.
Good. Let's go there tonight.
That's what I'm saying, man. Just don't go and hang out with demons and stuff. Here we go. Our son waking up from that. Always a good thing.
I had a dream. I had a dream one time, and when I woke up from it, I was fighting. Like, my hands were in the air. That all these spiders were dropping down out of webs, coming on top of me. That was before my son was born, so he's 11. That was a long time ago. It was here in this house I live in, but I'll never forget that. It was like hundreds of spiders, and they were dropping down like Charlotte's Web. Coming down off the ceiling, coming down on me, and I was at my arms were wailing, like I was trying to fight these spiders off, and that's how I woke up. But I'm
evil
scared of crickets.
Evil spellage. I don't know crickets. I don't know. I don't know if we can clear out the crickets for you when you come down to the cabin.
How did you get scared of crickets?
How did that happen?
So let me tell you, were they in your shoe when you were a kid and you tried to put it on and it just hopped everywhere? Because that's kind of made me scared of crickets for a long time.
No, I'll tell you what happened is that my grandmother, I have a really good, interesting family history on my mother's side. There's an area in Ashland that we call South Ashland, and we call it South Ashland because the main drive that goes through there is South Ashland Sherwood Drive. Well, all through there, there's a subdivision that was divided up, and the property and land was sold, and it was named after my grandmother's favorite story was Robin Hood and Little John. So it was my grandfather's land, and they sold it all out, and they have like the Nottingham Drive, Maid Marian Court, Robin Hood Drive. They named all the roads over there. What's that? Bradbury Lane. They named all those roads and everything over there in South Ashland after Robin Hood. And that was my family on my mom's side. So they had this big house that had a carport. And we would pull in the driveway, go around and go underneath the carport. And then to come in through to the house, we came in through the basement, which the basement back in the day when my grandfather was alive was magnificent. It was a whole other house in itself in the whole basement. But when he passed away in 1975, I never met him. My grandmother, only time she'd go down there was to do laundry. So it wasn't kept up well, and then it started having water come in over the years and things, so then it drew in these crickets, and these crickets were massive, and especially at nighttime. I know that if we pulled into Grandma's house around 6 o'clock in the evening or later, we would have to, I did, not my other family members, but I would book it through that basement and run up the steps to the kitchen, because these crickets came out of nowhere, and they were massive, and they would jump up on your legs. And especially in the summertime, when it got hotter outside, and then the rain would come in through the basement, and oh my goodness, I'll never forget, they decided that we're going to get the basement dry. This was back in the early 90s. My grandmother passed away in 1998.
This is early 90s. They were going to pay to get the basement dry and fix it up downstairs and all that kind of stuff again. So then I remember being down there during the day. There was no crickets out. We open up this door that kind of goes to like a dirt storage area. It's like up by your waist, the door is. It's not close to the ground. It's like a halfway up the wall. You open up the door. These crickets fell out. Like, I was screaming, and I took off running. So I've been scared of crickets since a small age, since I can remember running through the basement, and they were jumping on my legs, and then that door opened. And see, that was – I was probably 11. I was probably my son's age right now, 11 or 12, when we opened that door and those crickets fell out. Oh, yeah. I've been scared of them ever since.
Traumatizing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then I marry a guy that uses crickets for fishing. I'm divorced. This is a reason. And when he would go to the basement, my basement has crickets in it. Like, my Christmas tree's down there. My dad can tell you, I won't go get my Christmas tree unless he comes over and checks my basement first. And then I'll get my Christmas tree out. But he would go down to the basement and get these crickets out of my basement and bring them up. He threw one at me one time. And I'm telling you, it was so mean. It was so mean. I was crying. He was laughing. I mean, I have a true fear. And it's called something. I can't remember. You can look it up. There is a fear of crickets. And it's just like, I feel like they're mutated. They're three insects in one. And then they can jump. You never know where they are. And they're on the walls and the ceiling. They can go anywhere. And it's been a true fear.
Man, I can feel you. I was scared of crickets for the longest time. They were those camel crickets. And they would they were all in my house. And they'd get down into my shoes. And if I didn't check before I put my foot in that shoe, I'd feel it jumping all over me.
So you're scared of crickets. Angie's scared of snakes.
Yeah, I'm terrified of snakes.
And I'll tell you what I'm scared of: horror movies. I do not watch horror movies.
He has a logical fear.
I'm scared of horror movies. I don't watch them.
What do you consider a horror movie, though?
I don't like.
Like bloody, like gruesome. He doesn't like a mystery movie. Like, a mystery movie will scare him if someone is killed in it.
Well, I watch mystery movies. Like, I like Clue. That's a good one. I mean, I don't like Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street.
The TV show for
Scream.
Kids, Goosebumps. Yeah, he doesn't like that. See, then he won't watch that.
No, no. I don't.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
I don't know. Exactly.
Like, no, I don't watch Nightmare on Elm. I don't watch Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't like anything messing with your dreams. Stuff like that creeps me out.
You should have seen me.
Like,
went to go see Winchester, and I'm sitting there. I'm like
hiding behind
me. See, that's not horror to me.
Me neither. Thank you. I'm like, dude, you will go into the house.
Is like be haunted with ghosts,
but you won't sit and watch it on TV. It's crazy.
Well, I'll watch like Ghost Adventures and stuff on TV, or like real. Like paranormal shows, but
it's so illogical.
Well, I can understand Friday the 13th. I can understand Freddy Krueger. I can understand Saw because they're all bloody and gory, and I can't handle that stuff either. I used to be able to when I worked in the hospital and I worked trauma and ER and I saw a bunch of stuff, but after being out of that since 2013, the longer I've been out of it, I can't handle it. So I get that, but Sarah Winchester, that's based off true story, well, true event, and it really truly has a lot of history in that. The ghost story in itself is not the truth, but how she believed and what she did and the 13 nails and all that kind of stuff is true.
Yeah.
And that it's one of my actually favorite paranormal movies. Conjuring,
well, I mean,
I can probably understand.
Jump scare parts. The history part was fun, This wasn't when the ghosts were coming out. It's not. I think when I was a kid, my mom would watch scary movies and she'd make me watch them with her. And that
Saturday Night Nightmares.
Yeah, well, she'd watch something like what's that show? Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte, which is like a murder.
See, it's like a mystery show.
Yeah.
Or
13
not
Ghosts.
Mystery, but like...
Oh, 13 Ghosts is probably one of the scariest ones.
Mm-hmm. There was a movie called
13
Watcher
Ghosts
in the Woods.
Scary.
It was a Disney movie. It had Betty Davis in it. And it scared the living crap out of me.
There was a little kid in it.
What was that? Boogity Man?
Was it Corey Haim? Corey Feldman? Who was it? I gotta look that up now.
But
did you watch Boogity Man 1 and 2?
Was it Mr. Boogity?
Yes,
yeah,
Mr. Boogity.
The wonderful world of Disney. Yeah, yeah. That did not help me with my nightmares. But there, the Watcher in the Woods. Apparently, what happened was a girl was like sent to another dimension during some kind of ceremony or some shit, and she was stuck in a mirror. So whenever you looked in the mirror, you would see a little girl with a blindfold on saying, "Help me, help me." And I could not look in the mirror for like 3 months after I watched that movie.
That was so.
My hair was
going
everywhere. I didn't even know. I didn't know what it looked like.
I
could not.
Kyle Richards in it.
Did you ever watch The Fly?
Oh, The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
I
watched that as a kid. That terrified me as a kid.
Don't eat me.
The gate. The gate.
I don't remember that.
That doesn't have Johnny Depp in it. Who's in that? The gate.
Hold on, I'm gonna.
There was one with Johnny Depp called The Gate, wasn't
1987,
it?
1987.
No, that was Johnny Depp.
It had Stephen Dorff in it. There was about a little boy, and he found this thing in a hole, like this rock crystal looking thing in the hole. And the hole ended up being like a
gate. I don't remember that. What was that? I'm sorry. It's cutting in and out, so I keep. I'm sorry.
1987.
No,
you're fine.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
1987.
There was a hole or something they found. There was something in the hole.
Yeah, it was like this crystal thing. But she was going to say something. What were you going to say about your mom?
Oh, well, see, my mom is and still continues as an avid Stephen King reader. And she had every book that Stephen King ever wrote, physically hard copied, hardback. And she ended up selling her collection several years ago. But, you know, if I have any kind of paranormal, I grew up in a paranormal home or a haunted house, okay? But if I, any of my dark side, I will tell you, comes from my mother, because even when I was a little girl, there was a book that, and it's been a movie and everything, Tommyknockers by Stephen King. And one of the things she would sing to me, this is how messed up my mom was and is, and I love her. That's fine. She can be messed up now. I can understand it now. But she would sing to me at nighttime, Tommyknockers, knocking at the door. Don't know if I should answer it. Don't know if I should. I'm so afraid of the Tommyknocker man, or something like that. It rhymes. It's the poem inside the book that they sing about the Tommyknocker man. So I've grown up around some darkness and some messed up stories, really coming from Stephen King and the things that my mom. I mean, I think I read parts of The Shining. My mom allowed me to read parts of The Shining. She's a language arts teacher. She's retired now. But she pushed books down our throats all my life. But I think that I've read parts of The Shining when I was in fourth grade. So, you know, I've kind of had a little bit of gore, I guess, maybe growing up a little bit. And my mom, like, there's this one time too, this is mean. I don't know if this is child abuse or not. I don't say it's child abuse. I'm just going to tell you a story. I wouldn't do it to my son, okay? But, you know, back in the 80s, everything was different back then. So we were watching some kind of scary Saturday Night Nightmares, and it dealt with this woman peeling off her skin. Well, like a week had passed, and my brother and I were there, and they're, and my mom was in the bathroom, and she's like, kids, come here, I need help, I need help. And she put this clear mask on over her face. It's a facial peel. Clear mask, and she started peeling this mask off and acting like it was hurting and acting like she was peeling off her skin. That's the truth. My brother to this day is like traumatized over it. I laugh about it. He doesn't laugh about it. He takes it very serious. He was super scared and really thought my mom was peeling off her skin. And he's 16 months younger than me, but I laugh. He's like, no, that's not funny to this day. But my mom has always had like a little bit of, you know, that Stephen King horror stuff. And that's where I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, but it was the episode of where they were in the dollhouse. And I had a dollhouse. I had one of those big dollhouses. And he was in this dream. It's like you see the dollhouse and then they go in it. And then you realize the girl's dreaming, but it's her physically. They're physically inside the dollhouse. And I saw like 5 or 6 minutes of that clip. And I can't ever watch. I've never watched A Nightmare on Elm Street ever since that clip.
Oh wow!
So I get the horror part of it, of being bloody and gory and messes up with your mind or the mirrors or anything like that. But the other stuff, I don't know. I had a mom that was a little bit scary sometimes. I don't know. I better tell her not to listen to this show.
Yeah, my mom was kind of the same way. Like, she'd have me take the trash out, and the trash was like, I had to go out the back porch door, go down a set of steps and go underneath the house and take the trash out. Well, one night she decided to play a trick on me and starts flashing the lights going, Ryan, scares the crap out of me. I fall down the steps. I felt the scar on my elbow where my elbow hit the brick wall going down the steps. And she was like, oh, my God, laughing.
I've been laughing, too.
That sounds like my mom, too. Exactly.
Well,
like,
you know, I already do mean stuff like that to RJ, so poor boy.
God.
I haven't done anything to him. But he sees things, though. Jet does truly see things. So
I
saw
RJ,
things.
Actually.
And RJ sees it, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'll freak out. He'll just start screaming for no reason.
pointing at nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jet did the same. He would freak out and point when he was younger. Now that he's, I don't. How old is RJ?
Two.
Okay. Yeah. That's what Jet would do. He would even take his finger and point and follow it like it's dancing around the ceiling or something. So
the other day,
now that he's older. I'm sorry. What was that?
No. Go ahead. Now that he's older.
Oh. Okay. Now that he's older, he's 11 and a half. My parents, every time I said I saw something, they would like put it away and like I was dreaming or was it, you know, my imagination and stuff. I don't do that with Jet. I listen to him and I understand what he's saying, and then I try to debunk it with him. We do it together, and he's even done some EVP sessions, which I don't condone by any means, unless you feel comfortable doing it with your child. You have to know your child and their maturity. But here in my home, which my home is not haunted, I do believe that there is a person here, but he's a minister, and he lived in this home before me, and I have seen him myself in my house, and it's not anything harmful by any means. So, you know, when Jet at one time says, I just want to talk to him. I just want to talk to him. And I put it off. And then finally, about a year later, I said, okay. And he did his first EVP session. We got two answers, Class A EVPs. I don't have that up on my SoundCloud because that's my son. But, you know, children are vulnerable and children see things. You grow out of it, I think, over time. A lot of people do. And so, instead of telling him that it's a figure of his imagination or he's dreaming, I've done the other thing of accepting it and then figuring out what it is with him. And I think, I don't know, I'll find out later on when he's in his 20s and he can tell me the truth. He's out on his own and be like, Mom, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. But I wish my parents were around. More open.
Yeah. Honestly, if 12-year-old Ryan knew that he was going to be a ghost hunter, you know, he would probably just he'd be like, no way. Because, yeah, mm-hmm. even my mom got me Ghost of Richmond book when I was a kid, probably 11, 12 years old. I wouldn't even sleep with it in my room because I was scared the ghosts were going to come out of the book and get me. So I kept it in the basement. So it just goes to show, you know, you never know how a person's going to, you know, turn out.
Well, I have a funny story about my brother with the – do you remember the old black and white Twilight movie called – it was like the Dummy?
Twilight Zone?
Yeah, Twilight Zone. Or maybe it might have been Alfred Hitchcock. But it's called the Dummy. It was black and white. It looked
like a
ventriloquist dummy doll.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
with porcelain.
Yeah.
Well, my brother had two of those in his room growing up in this house that was haunted that I grew up in, and he would swear up and down those dolls would move, and he got panicked at one time, and they double bagged them. My dad will tell you the story. They double bagged them in two black trash bags, put them in one trash bag because they thought it would be a collector's item. Eventually, they didn't want mold to get on them, is what my dad would tell you. Then double bagged them, took them downstairs in the basement, put them in the storage. There's like our basement was open, but then there was a room in the basement that had a door, and it was our storage room because we had a full basement. So he put them back there in that storage room, and he said that at times he would be down there in the basement over by in the back utility room back there with the washer and dryer. And he would think that he could hear something moving in that room, and then he'd just put it off like it was a mouse or something like that. Well, my brother had a bad dream one night about the dummies coming out of the bags and walking around the house, and it was a dream, so we believed. Except my brother got so scared about it that even myself, too, we slept upstairs. Our upstairs had different rooms and stuff up there, but it was kind of also open. It had like partitions. And so we were all in pretty much the same room, but we were all in separate beds. And my dad went down one evening into the basement, and that door was open, and the bag of the two dummies, it was two of them, was in that storage room that the dummies were out of the bag. And it was double bagged. So, I mean, they were just hanging out of the bag. They weren't out moving or anything like that. But my brother had that dream. And then my parents obviously asked my brother if he would know. None of it. We ain't going to the basement. Nothing good ever comes out of the basement. My mom didn't see it. Weird. It was weird. Right. One of them weird stories.
Wild.
Yeah. And I don't think I've ever talked about that. I don't think I have.
Yeah. Man, set those dolls on fire.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to them. I have no clue. I haven't seen them since. I didn't know. And then we've moved, and then my parents, when they downgraded from their house to a smaller house after we've gotten out from there, this was back in 2000. See, my son was born in 2009. In 2010, they downgraded and moved to a house that was all just one floor and everything. So they split up all of our toys that we had, and I've gone through most of the bags. I didn't see them. They're not here at my house. I need to talk to my brother probably tomorrow and see if he got those dolls. We've never talked about it since. Maybe this is something I'll talk about this week with my family. It'd be interesting I'd like to do an EVP session. So I don't even know where they came from.
That's man, that's interesting story. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a guy. He was, I can't feel like it was part of the Three Stooges, because one of the porcelain dolls were like chunky. I remember them, and round faced, and they had top hats on, and they were in tuxedos. And then the other one was skinny and it kind of, you know, like really long face, and they were both porcelain dolls.
Maybe it was. What's that? Was it Abbott and Costello, or who was the fat guy in the oh God, who was that? Was it? Because it was like a duo that was out like the early 1920s, had like a really kind of round face and like a almost like a Hitler type mustache, and another guy was skinny. I think it was Abbott and Costello. Was the name of the group? A B B O T E and Costello.
That might be them. Yeah, I'm looking up their pictures right now. Let me look up porcelain dolls. It's them. It is them.
Yeah.
I'm screenshotting this. I'm sending this to you. I don't care if you want to post this up or not. This is them. This is their outfits. Hold on. Where are you at here, Ryan? I'm sending you. This is them. This is the dolls. Both of them. Exactly. This is them. Yes. Exactly the dolls. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's them.
Yeah. Hello. No, Laurel and Hardy. That's who it was.
Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
No, these two were the dolls.
It was.
Those were what they had. It looked like they had a tuxedo on. One was round, one was tall and skinny. This was them. That was them. Top hats on, exactly them.
The porcelain dolls are creepy to begin with.
Let me see if my brother can find those, if he has them. I don't know. We haven't talked about this in years.
Yeah, send to your brother. Give them back.
Well, I'm going to ask him for them. Let's see. The dummy, I'm going to see if this was Alfred Hitchcock. I think it was Alfred Hitchcock after I said the Twilight Zone.
It's probably Twilight Zone, because Alfred Hitchcock wasn't really supernatural. I guess the birds are supernatural, but.
So when I was kidding, there were three shows that. There was the Twilight Zone. The one I'm trying to think of is Tales from the Dark Side. I love Tales from the Dark Side. Loved that show.
This is it. This is the movie that scared my brother, or the show, that season 3, episode 33, The Dummy. That's what scared my brother so much. That came out in 1962. I said it
was Alfred Hitchcock.
This is The Dummy, The Twilight Zone, season 3.
Okay.
Average ventriloquist finds he has a not-so-average dummy with Cliff Robertson. But we saw it when we were young, and I remember watching it, and I just thought it was amazing that a dummy could use the bathroom, because there was a bathroom scene where he was using the bathroom. And then my brother, that terrified him. And then we had those two dolls in his bedroom. This was them. This was exactly them. The Laurel and Hardy porcelain dolls. That is? Yeah, that's them. Didn't you say Laurel and Hardy?
Laurel and Hardy, yeah.
Okay, that's them. And there was another. Hold on, am I getting this confused with something else? The Abbott and Costello.
We've got about a minute left, actually, in the show.
Well,
so if you could just let us know like where people can find you and how they can find what you have. I know Andrew's looking for you on TikTok.
TikTok, yeah. No, I deleted my TikTok. I'm sorry, y'all.
Oh.
I deleted TikTok.
Okay.
But you can find me on the Paranormal United Network. That's on Facebook. We're getting ready to be on Roku, too, not too long in the near future. But the Paranormal United Network, or Frickin' Frack Paranormal on Facebook for right now. I have a website. It's not up right now. We're still working on some things, but hopefully it will be live by March. But as of right now, just generic Facebook at this point in time.
Well, Frick, we definitely thank you for coming on, and we'll definitely send all our listeners to Frick and Frack and Paranormal, and Yeah. Look forward to talking to you
also,
again.
Real quick, too, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What was that?
We have to back on again because we want to get into, like, how I got into the paranormal and stuff.
Most definitely. But I have Error 404 Paranormal Network, too, on Facebook and Instagram, and that's going to be out on the website. Hopefully our launch date will be March the 1st for the
awesome.
Website. So
we'll
thank you all so much for having me back on. This is funny. It goes by so fast. I knew it would. So know what we're going to talk about either.
A lot of fun.
That's what I like.
Exactly. So, all right, well, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. You all have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye.